If you have a Bible, go ahead and open it up to Psalm 46. Psalm 46 falls right after Psalm 45. If you open up your Bible right to the middle, you'll probably find the book of Psalms, find the 46th chapter. That's my dad joke for all the students pretty much every time I teach them. If you've ever been in my basement, you know that one very well. One last thing I'll mention for us. We have out in the lobby what we can call the cereal aisle of Bible reading plans. Bible reading plans, as you start the new year and you make your New Year's goal, we hope that one thing that you'll strive to do is to commit to reading through the Bible, to commit yourself to intaking God's word. There'd be plenty of other resources to come, but we have a few reading plans available. You don't need to grab all five. I have all five to show you the options. You just need to pick one. I would say this F260 is kind of the most simple one out there. It's a great introductory Bible reading plan. It's going to read one or two chapters a day, 5 days a week. You cover all 66 books of the Bible, but you may not read every single chapter. This is actually what I challenge your middle school and high school students to read. And trust me, they do very well with it, and it's very encouraging. You have a few others that you can peruse and look through. But as we begin to turn our attention to the Bible, this is a great chance for us to say, one of the reasons why we love Bible reading, and one of the reasons why at Hickory Grove we push Bible reading, is because we believe what 2 Timothy 3 says. All scripture is breathed out by God. It is profitable. It's useful for you, for teaching, for correction, for training, and for rebuke, and for training in righteousness. I've butchered it a little bit there. So that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. Our hope is that you'll commit to Bible reading. We'll provide you the plan. You need to come up with the place, both physical and in time of day, that you will read it, and maybe a person, an accountability group that can hold you accountable to reading. Without those three things, a plan, a place, and a person to be accountable to, you may not thrive in Bible reading. But if you have those three, I trust that the Lord will honor your efforts in the spiritual disciplines this year. So if you found Psalm 46, go ahead and stand with me as we read this great psalm for us. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Let's pray. Lord, we want to pray for Pastor Clint and Miss Connie as they are in Mississippi for rest and for spending time with family. Pray that you would bless them and that you would give them great strength. God, we equally pray that you would bless us now as we look to your word, that you would encourage us, that you would challenge us to remember your goodness in the previous year, and that you would challenge us to commit ourselves to obedience in the next. Lord, we ask that your Son would be lifted and glorified in our hearts today. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. If you enter my house through the front door, there will be two things that you immediately notice. First, the noise. It's what comes when you have a 7-year-old girl and 3 knucklehead boys, as you may have witnessed at the Christmas Eve service over last week. The second thing that you will notice is an upright piano. It's my wife's great-grandma's. And above it is a 4-foot by 2-foot wooden frame. Painted on this piece of wood is a musical sheet. with the hymn, "A Mighty Fortress," painted on it. "A Mighty Fortress" is the famous hymn written by the German reformer Martin Luther. And it was this very psalm that inspired him to write that great song we often sing. This psalm, the 46th psalm, has incredible power and comfort to minister to your heart today because of this central theological teaching, the immanence of God. If you want to write the word immanence, I-M-M-A-N-E-N-C-E, immanence. Whereas the transcendence of God is the high glory of God above all time and creation, the immanence of God is his active presence with creation, bringing and sustaining life to all things. And so here we stand on the 52nd Sunday of this year. Perhaps you look in the rearview mirror and you would say, this was not my best year. In fact, I'm ready for this year to be over. Perhaps you might look at this year as your best year yet. Whatever the case, I hope you can look back and see the immanence of God that brought you through it all. And now as we look to the next year, we're always filled with optimism. Maybe you have a big life event coming. There's graduations, there's weddings, there's maybe a baby on the way or trip of a lifetime. Maybe it's something, maybe not personal life, maybe it's a big cultural event. Maybe your sports team is looking really good and you just believe this year is our year. Something I can hardly ever say. Or maybe, some of you young ladies, you're ready for the wedding of the century on June 13th. However, the truth is we have no idea what the Lord intends to bring our way. But this psalm is what we can hold on to. This psalm is what we can hold on to. God is imminent with us, and he will carry you through it all. And so, if you wanted to capture the central idea for today, you can say it like this. God's presence gives you reason to be faithful another year. I'll say that again so you can write it. God's presence gives you reason to be faithful another year. Verse 1 says it pretty plainly. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. This is one of the most popular verses in all the Bible. This is something that you can cling to in times of difficulty. God is our refuge. He's our rest. He's our security. When the darts of the enemy try to come against us, he stands there to keep us safe. He is our strength. When you feel like you can't take another step forward, when the ways of the world maybe start to seem like the better offer than this Christian life, he is our strength to remain faithful. He is our very present help in trouble. Have you faced trouble recently? He's not just your help in that trouble. He's not just your present help in that trouble. There is an emphatic. He is your very present help in trouble. God's presence with you this next year will give you great reason to stay faithful once again. This is where I want to lead us into our first point. So if you want to write something down, you can write, he gives resolve to the rattled. He gives resolve to the rattled. All of our points are going to have that kind of flow of sorts. He gives resolve to the rattled. Through whatever may come your way, marriage, divorce, losing a spouse or singleness, through job promotion or job loss, through infertility or the thick days of raising little ones, through raising little ones or caring for your aging parents, through the events of what transpired in Mint Hill, our own community this weekend, whatever comes our way, we have what we need to stay the course to Zion because God's presence is with us and gives us great resolve. Let's read verse 2 and 3. Let's read verse 1 too. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. The picture here in 2 and 3 is calamity and devastation. The earth is giving way right underneath them, right underneath us. There's roaring waters. There's mountains, typically the symbol of something steady and strong, now trembling. Some translations even say of verse 2 and 3, the world turned upside down. If you look at the title of the psalm even, you see that it's written by the sons of Korah. The sons of Korah, likely not the direct descendants of Korah, but nevertheless, they would have known what took place in number 16 that you might know well of too. In Korah's rebellion, when God opened up the earth and swallowed Korah and his family whole in judgment for their sin, they understood calamity and devastation at the highest sense. This is also the picture that if you go back to your mind of last September in our own community, just Western North Carolina, when Hurricane Helene came, landslides, raging rivers, absolutely decimating small rural towns. It's not just depicted of this calamity and devastation out there, but it's something you and I feel within us. It's the health test that comes back positive. It's losing the young child. It's the stress of all forms. Financial burden after car breaks down, after car breaks down, after car breaks down. It's the stress of job. Will I get the raise that I need to take care of my family? It's the stress of family. Are we going to get along this holiday season? It's the stress of friends. Are they going to forgive me for what I've said? The reality is the effect of sin in this world has infiltrated your heart and my life too, and it has us rattled, and at times, if we're honest, we are unsure how to navigate the next season. And here's what God's presence does for you. It provides you resolve. Verse 2, therefore, we will not fear. See, the children of God need not fear, for you have a refuge, a strength, and a very present help who is with you, whose very hands formed those mountains, whose very pinky guides that raging river. When it feels like the earth has completely given way and hell has opened up to you, the call of God's people is to heed the command our Lord Jesus gave time and time again. Fear not. You knew it. See, his presence is with you. His sovereign rule is over it all. Therefore, we will not fear. So let's ask the question, what compels us to have resolve? From where can we have this strength? Consider for a moment the disciples. Jesus is crucified and they hide. They're behind closed doors. They're fearful. The man that they followed the last few years that they thought would overthrow the political regime and bring smite down to the Jewish leaders, they beat him. They pierced him. They crucified him. And so they feared. But something changed on that third day. As our Lord was raised from the dead, the disciples went from fearfully hiding to trembling at the glory of the risen Lord, and they were the very ones that then began to turn the world upside down. The resurrection of Jesus is the very thing that gives you resolve when the world gives way. For we have a hope that is unfading and eternal as our Lord is risen from the dead. Church, this next year, when something comes our way, as we feel rattled, the plea is that you would find the strength that comes from the resurrection of Jesus, that we have a hope that is unfading. Not only does he give us this resolve, but also as we look at the next stanza of this psalm, verses 4, 5, and 6, we're going to see this. He gives protection to the precarious, which is a precarious saying in and of itself. That's a tricky word use there, but it sounds good. It's got two P's, so, you know, good Baptist way. He gives protection to the precarious. As I read this middle stanza, verses 4, 5, and 6, you'll see a lot of contrast. As I read, see if you can start to point out some of these things. Good literary skill is to notice those contrasts. Verse 4, There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. First, you see a picture of rivers whose streams make Jerusalem glad, the city of God. And you can even contrast that up to the verse before, where you kind of have this glad stream and river. The verse before, you have the waters roaring and foaming. You see in verse 5 that the city of God will not be moved. But in verse 6, you see the nations raging and the kingdoms tottering. Think the teeter-totter at the elementary school playground. You see God helping in verse 5. God will help her when morning dawns. But in verse 6, you see the utterance of his voice bringing judgment. Let's look at this a little bit more. The city of God is protected because it is the holy habitation of the Most High. And yours might even say, if you have the KJV, the tabernacles of the Most High. Because God is in the midst of her, she will not be moved. You can flourish as the presence of God protects you if he indwells you. Revelation 22 paints this great picture for us. 22 verse 1 says, "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month." This is true of Jerusalem, that God is in the midst of her. You even see verse 4 here painted again for us in Revelation 22, this picture of this river that produces life, produces gladness, produces fruit in the lives of his people. But as we just celebrate at Christmas, this is not just true of Jerusalem, it's true of us. What does John 1:14 say? Many of our students memorize it. You likely know it as well. Right? "And the word became flesh and dwelt among us." Some literal translation, tabernacled among us. Right? And we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Father, full of grace and truth. Christ came, leaving heaven behind to dwell amongst his people. And now as he has ascended to the right hand, he has sent his helper, the Holy Spirit, to indwell believers so that we would have constant 24/7 protection as the enemy tries to creep in and sneak weapons into our hearts and minds through whatever means of media or whatever conversations at the water cooler. We don't really talk at water coolers at work anymore, but whatever. Whatever weapons of the enemy that creep within us, the Spirit is there to provide us protection. He protects us from the precarious environment that we find ourselves in. Where you see the nations rage, it's not so much rage as in like anger, like the rage monster. It's more like rage like the waters that go up and down. We're not a cruise family. I've never been out in the ocean when the waters are going up and down. I've seen some videos on Facebook and it looks horrible. I don't know why you would do it. But that's the picture here. The nations rage, it's more about the up and down volatile nature of culture. Volatile nature of what is acceptable and celebrated in our time, in our country, where you see the kingdoms totter, this speaks more to the political turmoil, the infighting, the even warfare that we see between nations. And so there's very much, in verse 6, a tensity, that there is this on-edge feeling for the city of God when the nations are raging and the kingdoms are tottering. The surrounding nations and kingdoms, they are a threat to the city of God. They want to infiltrate and not only distract spiritually, but also bring physical harm to them as well. And yet, God provides protection. Look at the last phrase of verse 6. He utters his voice. The earth melts. Genesis 1, through his voice, all creation came. And if he wanted, through his voice, all creation would fade away and melt. Let this serve as a reminder for you and I, as the concerns of our own nation, as the turmoil between nations in our world, and as culture presses against us, we begin to feel precarious. Let us find hope in the voice of God. Commit yourself to finding hope in the voice of God that is transcribed for you in the Word of God. Psalm 1 paints a picture of another stream. It's about the blessed man who delights in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season. Matthew 7 would paint another picture. This is Jesus' words at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, that he who listens and hears and obeys Jesus' words is like the man built his house on a solid rock that no storm can knock over. Be people of the book. Be people of the book. Commit yourself to hearing the voice of God in the next year and await him to bring protection. Await on him to bring peace to your heart, that no matter the precarious nature of our environment and country, we have exactly what we need, which is his presence to us through his holy word. So we got two. He gives resolve to the rattled. He gives protection to the precarious. Let's look at a third as we look at the last stanza here. It changes just a little bit. I apologize. I couldn't force it any other way, but it still sounds good. He will be exalted in the earth. He will be exalted in the earth. Let's read verses 8 through 10. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear, and he burns the chariots with fire. Now, verse 10 is the verse that you likely know. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. He will be exalted in the earth. Verse 8 echoes verse 6. This earth is made desolate. The earth melts away. Verse 9 is the picture of total victory. He breaks the bow. He shatters the spear. And historic scholars would say a common practice at the time was when one nation would defeat another nation, when one army would defeat another army, they would gather the remains of the equipment, whatever they could find, pile it up, they would light it ablaze, demonstrating their victory over this other army. About this verse, verse 9, Jonathan Edwards said this: God has destroyed the whole apparatus of war throughout the country. And I include that because apparatus is a fun word to say. But really, it is verse 10, maybe the most popular that we know in the psalm. And really, it just has this simple phrase. He works while we watch. God works while you witness. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Maybe you recall the end of Mark chapter 4. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus and the disciples are in a boat. And the picture there is a lot like the picture of 2 and 3. The waters are roaring and foaming. There's this massive storm that has come. Water's filling the boat. The disciples can do nothing about it. All hope is lost, yet Jesus is asleep. And out of great fear, Lord, do you not care that we're perishing? Jesus gets up. What does he say? Even the little kids in the room know it. Peace, be still, he says to the storm. And immediately, at the sound of his voice, the storm ceases. All is calm. This Jesus of Nazareth stood up and spoke to the storms these incredible words, and they immediately hushed, proving that he's not just of Nazareth, but that Jesus is of God. And now Philippians 2 would say something remarkable. In being found in human form, Jesus humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted his name above every name. He has bestowed on him the name that is above every name. This is what our God is working toward. While he works through us, his imminence in our lives is working to bring about the transcendence of his glorious Son. He works while we watch. I was catching up with one of our missionary partners that our church commissioned a few years ago, good friend of mine. He served with me in student ministry for a long time. They're in a very closed country. And in his 3 years there, somebody was led to the Lord and was saved. How incredible. This person then led someone else to the Lord, and he was saved. And this guy has now led somebody else to the Lord, a doctor of his, and he's saved. But it's this third brother right here. So missionary, first brother, second brother. So I'll call him the second brother. This second brother here has faced a lot of complications. This has not been an easy task. He's faced health complications. He's faced financial struggles for those health reasons. And he's faced unjust court practices. And our missionary friend is really bothered, you know, burdened, I guess is the proper word, burdened for this brother. Because he said these words. And keep in mind, like, this friend of ours, he has the best seminary education and the best missionary training Christianity has ever known in all of history. But he says these words. I much rather be with Brother Andrew, I think is actually his name, Brother Andrew. But me being at the hospital produces a great risk. And so I'm resigned to do the only thing that I can in front of me, and that's withdraw small amounts of money multiple times a day from the ATMs to pay for these bills. God is challenging me right now to be still and trust that he is God. And our missionary's prayer, and yours and mine too, our prayer is that God would be exalted in this brother's life and that God would be exalted in this country. Be still and know that I am God. We watch while he works. His presence with us does this. This is what Exodus 14 would say that we covered just a few weeks ago. The Lord will fight for you. You have only to be silent. As we look to this next year, desiring to be faithful to the task, God has given us reason because he desires to, he can, and he will use you for his exaltation. If what we've covered today is true, and I'm convinced that it is, then what does the foe have against us? If God is our true refuge, then your home goes from a place of rest to an outpost to reach your neighbors. If God is your true refuge, then you need not give in to peer pressure for the sake of people's approval and acceptance. If God is our strength, then we can persevere to share the gospel again, to invite somebody to church again, to bless somebody again as he works out his son's exaltation through us. Church, if God is your very present help, then you can give yourself once again to the mercy ministries like food pantry and clothes closet, car care, that you can go, and even though you're weary at home with your own burdens, you can go to far off places to serve the least of these and preach the gospel. God will be exalted in the earth. His presence with us helps us do so. He uses us. We have, in this next year, we have what we need in God's presence to be faithful to the mission out there. But it does start with us in here. And this is going to lead us to the fourth point. I'll provide it for you. He gives security to his saints. He gives security to his saints. I mean the security in a spiritual salvific sense, like eternal security. So if we understand Psalm 46 as a song, then verses 7 and 11, which you've noticed I've not touched yet, would be the chorus of that song. It's a repeated phrase. It's an incredible verse for us. Let's read it. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Most of us in the room, we know our Bibles well, and we see that phrase, Lord of hosts, and we know that it's speaking of God's militaristic might, his power, the God of angel armies of sorts, that he, the divine warrior, can summon an army of angels far greater than Doctor Strange ever could at the end of Endgame. The younger people got that one. That he, the divine warrior, can make the earth melt with just one utterance of his voice. He, the divine warrior, is unmatched, victorious, over the greatest threat to humanity, sin and death. He's victorious because when his son was buried, 3 days later, he was raised. He's victorious because there is a tomb in the ancient Near East that still sits empty, no body to be found. He's victorious because his son lives. For those of you listening who've never placed your faith in Christ, his son lives, and by faith in his name, you can too. You can have the eternal security awaiting the saints of God. That through repentance and faith, you can trust that you have eternal security for all time. That you can go from an enemy to a friend and a child. That you can go from tottering with the kingdoms and raging with the nations to being glad in the city of God. That you can go from fearing when the mountains are trembling and the waters are roaring to not fearing because you have a refuge and a strength and a very present help. Maybe you feel that this is too good to be true. Maybe you're visiting church today and this is kind of, maybe you're kicking off a New Year's goal 1 week early like Planet Fitness has been advertising us to do. So you want to get your life back on track. And so you visit us today. Maybe you think that God's too good. His strength is too good. His love is too sweet. Maybe you question if this can really be true for you. And there's another phrase in here that I want to draw your attention to. This next title at the end of verse 7 and at the end of verse 11, the God of Jacob. Maybe I feel this more intimately because my name is Jacob, but consider for a moment that God allows himself to be titled the God of Jacob. The cheating, lying, backstabbing, polygamist who plays favorites amongst his children. God's willing to be called the God of Jacob. If you feel like you're no good for God, the God of Jacob, the great patriarch of old, this Jacob, we're no good for his love either. And that's the great mystery and power of the gospel, is that his love for his son and his son's love for you to keep him on the cross took the penalty for your sin so that you may have eternal life and you may feel and receive this great love we can have from the Father. There is sufficient grace for you too. All he requires is a humble and contrite spirit that turns to him in repentance and calls on the name of Christ to be forgiven of sin. As Christ hung on that cross, he was bearing the penalty for your sin. He was laid in the tomb. He died a death that ought to have been yours. And as he walked out of the tomb, he secured access to eternal life for you and for me. And now, whoever finds himself under the name of Christ Jesus is kept in a mighty fortress, immovable, unshaken, victorious and secure, not just for another year, but secure for all time. And if the Lord is with us, after all, say it with me, who can be against us? His presence gives you incredible reason to be faithful another year. Will you join me as we pray? With your eyes closed, with your head bowed, I want to give you a moment to consider the Lord's goodness to you in this last year. Maybe you even need to take a moment to seek his forgiveness, to call on him as refuge, to call on him as strength, to call on him, as we looked earlier, the advocate and propitiation. If this is new to you, if you've been challenged, if you would like to pray, you'll see there's my brother pastors up here on the front row. We'd love the chance. Just come over, stop by one of us, ask us to pray for you. If you want, you can pray in the seat that you're in right now. You can pray at these steps. We're gonna sing one more song, and this is the time for you to respond. Maybe this is the time for you to make the commitment in the next year to be faithful, to commit yourself to hearing his voice, to commit yourself to having strength, even though you might feel a little rattled, to commit yourself to being used for his exaltation. And maybe for some, for the first time, to come and find real security provided in the mighty fortress we have in Christ. Let's pray. Father, this is our prayer, that you would keep us, that you would hold on to us, that you would be our refuge when we are weary, that you would be our strength when we don't see the way forward, that you would help us as your Spirit, the great helper, has been given to us. God, I pray that you would bring life to our souls, that you would bring refreshment to us, to the glory and exaltation of your Son. Amen.